Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my dog psychology radio show. My name is Dale McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you. If you're new to the show, I'd just, again, like to welcome you and just encourage you to check out my prior shows as well, where I help provide insight into the dog and human relationship at a deeper level, at a relational level. And so today's show, I'm going to be talking about one of the really problematic issues that a lot of people deal with but are unable to resolve. And that issue is called the fear aggression. Now, those two words are kind of represent two opposite ends of the spectrum. They're kind of joined together at the hip here. But as I'm talking about this on today's show, it'll start to make sense as to why so many people are dealing with this issue but have a really hard time overcoming it. Because, again, it's something where, you know, you have to go deeper. It's a relational issue. And this is why I show dogs are relational beings. And training, no matter how people want to try to define it through their interpretive script, whether it's, you know, the various kind of cookie-cutter routines or different ideologies using different devices, it all comes right down to what it really is. It's a intervention relationally, which means that, you know, once an owner is already experiencing behavior problems such as the issue of fear aggression, that represents that a relational misalignment is already currently underway. You're already behind the eight ball, so to speak. And so when it starts to hit, you know, certain tipping points with issues such as this, it represents a level of stress and anxiety that comes on to the dog because, you know, the issue of, you know, dogs as relational beings, this is where I talk about, you know, this whole issue of what I define or what the term I coin as a relational misfire is that, you know, when dogs come into our world and they start to get a sense that, you know, we're connecting on too much of an emotional level, we haven't reconciled how we're connecting through leadership, it puts a level of stress on the dog because it's not naturalistic to the dog, which means that, you know, in the natural world, without human influence, a dog can fully express the, you know, nature's past, so to speak. But once humans get in the mix and we become a pivot point, then what we're doing is we're controlling the dog's world, but at the same time, you know, we're trying to control the dog's world, but we're also giving the dog power relationally through how we're connecting, that causes a misfire, so to speak. It'd be like your car engine that's not firing in all cylinders. There's a misfire underway, and so sooner or later, you know, your car is going to break down. It's not going to keep working that way. It causes worse problems, and this is the same for dogs. It causes more and more stress to come on to the dog as this misalignment, as it continues over the weeks and months and even years, it starts to really put a high level of stress on the dog. The dog's mind can't truly settle. Okay, it is settling in the power, but that's not really settling. That's why behavior issues are very, you know, difficult for people to interpret, because what happens through a dog finding comfort and fulfillment and power relationally is at the physical level, you'll have a picture somewhat of a balanced dog. It will, because people really, what they're looking for problems. They're looking to interpret to at the physical level through what they define as problems. That's why once you have a dog fight, you know, once you have a problem at that level where the physical is really showing it to you, I pretty much guarantee to you, you're way behind the curve. It's way beyond you know, a problem. It's gotten out of control because nature doesn't reveal that level at the physical level that way. It doesn't work like that. I mean, dogs, they're communicating at a deeper level. So this whole issue of, again, getting into this issue of fear aggression, that's what you're getting. You're getting the physical manifestation, okay, of how the mind pulls in and pulls back. There's a holding on. That's just the best way that I can define, how a dog's mind is working. And that's why if you look carefully when you're doing my method, even when you're doing the push-pull technique, what you'll get with dogs holding a lot of power is you'll see their paw come up into the air. You'll see them actually hold their paw, because the mind is pulling in. And as you do the push-pull, as you start to assert influence, you'll actually see the paw start to drop down and touch the floor again. So it's very interesting because you'll see the mind, you'll see how the mind pulls in and what that represents at the physical level. The physical always gives us clues as to where the mind is going. Now, usually those clues are going to be more defined when we're actually engaging the dog through leadership. When we're bringing influence online, we're going to see the reaction levels of the mind, okay? And this is where, if you're looking for, how do you test, really where you're standing in nature, when I'm meeting up with dog owners, the test is to see how the dog responds to reasonable influence, okay? Through the script that I bring online, I'm watching for the reaction levels of the dog. Okay, I'm seeing whether or not that dog is truly, within the framework as a follower, or starting to push beyond the parameters of that script. And so that's what you're doing. You're looking for the reaction levels of the mind. Now, this again goes to the issue of fear aggression. When a dog is holding a lot of power, okay, what happens is the dog almost gets to a level of like the narcissistic person who is camping out, who doesn't want to be drawn into any situation which is going to challenge their narrative. And it's a false narrative. Okay, it's a narrative of a type of arrogant, selfish, self-centered. They have a resume built up that really isn't real. It's false. But what happens is they're seeking empowerment, so they'll create their own little pathological world, so to speak, even through video games or whatever, where they can be the superhero without actually having to go into real life. So what happens is it becomes a type of camping out. And it's the same thing happens with dogs. It's similar in a lot of ways. It's not quite similar in some ways, but similar in a lot of ways, at least how the how the mind reacts and responds within this script. So what you're having is a dog that is starting to reject authority at all levels. Okay, and this is why sometimes people will respond to me. They'll say, Dale, my dog is seems to listen better for my spouse than me. Well, that's very much just. It's not even a real, it's kind of a false sense of security. When a dog is holding a lot of power, they will, at the physical level, come into alignment. So, but it's more because of this fight or flight thing going on. The dog has no respect for that spouse, but they're kind of put into a corner in their mind, so to speak, where they'll kind of shut down. The mind's drawn inward, so they'll appear to respond better. But the problem is meaningful change actually hasn't really taken hold. Excuse me, you hear me pausing here. I'm drinking my coffee here during these shows. So the whole issue here, again, when you look at, when you're trying to arrive at a interpretation at the physical level, this is why it's so problematic for people, for trainers, for behavioralists, whatever people want to call themselves, because they're looking, they're trusting what they see, and they're framing it up to at the human level, because we think as humans, they're trying to put it into a interpretive box so they can figure it out. But this is where things don't always line up, because relationally, nature doesn't work that way. Okay, it's just going to give you a half a picture, or give you a complete counterfeit picture. One, if you start connecting the wrong dots, okay, if you start to rely on the physical script you know, this is why I say it's so problematic for certain, you know, methods through, say, counter conditioning, to trying to desensitize, through this behavioral adjustment training where they're trying to change the path of the dog's mind, but they're making certain assumptions about a dog's state of mind at the physical level, which oftentimes don't line up. Okay, it's not actually relationally defined that way at all. Because again, they're not looking at the overall decision-making process of the dog that way. All they're doing is it's like piecemeal. They're just taking moments, so to speak, that run through their interpretive script, and they're trying to define it within those moments, and they're not stepping back to see that the dog can continue to devalue, can continue to run through this devaluation script, even though at the physical level it'll line up a certain way and look like a picture of change happening, and oftentimes it just isn't. And this is one of the big things, and this is really something that if you're listening to my shows or looking at my system, I guarantee you, you're not going to find another system out there that can break it down this way. I mean, if you're looking for the big answers as to why some people are successful and others fail within the same system, I can show you exactly why. But the trainers who are invested that way, in their whole ideology is based on that script, they can't figure it out, okay, because they're totally sold out to it. And they've already crossed certain lines. I talk about this in one of my videos about, you know, once you cross certain lines so many times you're finished. Well, that's basically how it works. If you're not challenging you know, behavior that way, if you're not really looking at it and saying, is it, because really you have to come down to a decision, you know, and ask the question, is it really the dog's fault? Is it really a problem with the dog, or is there something else happening that I'm missing at the physical level? Is there something deeper here going on? Well, the answer is yes, there is. Very much so. And, you know, that's why people will, you know, they'll do everything except bring a dog under leadership, because you have to understand something. This is another important point. You cannot mirror your emotions. You can't think emotionally with dogs the way people do and come in the right relationship through leadership. It's impossible, because it requires two different ways of thinking. I mean, it's all psychology. It really is. You can't be a permissive parent and discipline your child properly, because you're engaged in a mirroring process. You're not able to. I mean, it takes a whole different way of thinking. You have to not think about yourself, basically. You have to think about the needs of another a different way. And so it's totally reverse. But this whole issue of looking at, you know, fear aggression, you know, when people are trying to resolve this issue, when they're looking at the reactions of the dog, how the dog's mind's pulling back and physically, the initial response with people who think a certain way is one of empathy, of one of feeling bad for the dog. You know, what's wrong with the dog? I love the dog to death. The dog's doing this. I feel worse now. I want to pet all over it. I want to kiss it. I want to give it treats. And see, that all that does is it makes it worse, because you're doing is creating an even higher level of weakness to the dog. Because again, it's all about leadership. It's totally like reverse engineering. It's totally reverse thinking is required to fix the problem. You have to go against your initial feelings, your initial response. You have to fight that. You have to start to re-script it. You have to fight that. That's why when people come to me, you know, for a session, the first probably about 10 minutes, I'm not touching the dog. Okay, the dog's put away, it's crated or whatever. I'm talking to the owners to get them to reconcile some of the stuff so that they're on the right page. They're thinking rightly, because, again, when you start to do the hands-on method, it's mind and body. It's relational. So you can't just go through the motions or engage at the physical level and expect change to happen if you're not changing. Okay, if it's an intervention, it's relational. So it has to interweave that way. Okay, it's relational. So it's just not about, you know, going through the motions. And so you have to get people to change how they think, because, you know, this is the amazing thing about dogs. They know whether or not you're becoming the real deal. They know whether you're walking the fence or whether you have both feet over on the side of nature, whether you're surrendering how you think. Because if you're trying to walk the fence and you're trying to separate dog training from life, it isn't going to work out for you. Because dogs don't think that way. For a dog, it's life. You're either all in or you're not in at all. Because nature demands everything. It doesn't, it's not waiting for kind of half effort. That's why I call this whole thing with treats and using treats to train dogs. It's a type of being lazy. It's not just lazy, but you're trying to, you're trying to create influence over a dog based on your agenda. Okay, you're trying to bypass bringing a dog under authority, because really deep down, when you look at this group of people who are trying to discredit the whole dominance force issue, they're arguing from a point of an extreme position to begin with. So you can't expect anyone to come out within a balanced type of ideology or way of thinking if they're already starting at an extreme position. So those who try to package this whole issue up as something terrible and bad, you have to understand they're already way over on the left side, so to speak. So they're got a completely different agenda at work. And so this is the issue. When you get to the issue such as fear aggression, it's impossible to resolve this issue, because the people who are thinking this way, they're unable to, come in the right relationship through leadership, because they're totally rejecting the idea of dogs this way. So what they'll do is they'll do everything. If you look at some of the solutions that this group will put out or people will put out, they'll do everything from lighting candles, scented candles, help calm the dog. They'll play music in the background to try to distract the dog. And I'm talking more about, this issue of thunderstorms, because it creates the same reaction. If you look at the video I have on the thunder shirt, you'll see why it's not a fix. Because, again, people are trying to, they're separating away from themselves, changing basically what's happening. They're trying to take a piece of cloth and get a dog to, to start to change how they think through this material, and it doesn't work. And the thing is, if it gives a temporary relief, it's because the material is very tight. So what it is, if you really think about, authority, or think about how these dots connect, you'll see at first the dog will be like, wow, this is like connected to the owner. I feel this tightness. I feel this, this authority coming from somewhere. And the dog will bounce out for like 1 minute. But once they figure out that the person isn't really changing, and so this is a disconnected type of thing happening, it just washes out like everything else. It just isn't going to take hold. And so the person will try medication, everything, except, of course, bring a dog under leadership, because again, it requires a totally different way of thinking and connecting with your dog. So again, the issue of thunderstorms is that loud noise, it creates that reaction with the dog. The mind pulls inward and back. So when you're handling dogs, just understand that you'll get a worse reaction from personality types of people who represent leadership. If you really look at how dogs react to certain people who think a certain way, if you really pay attention, you'll see the dog's mind react to certain personality types, because they're able to get a pretty clear picture as to what what that person represents through nature. And this is why when you go into people's homes, it's not a trust issue. It's not about the dog not trusting or relating differently to the person because they're a stranger, because when people use that kind of excuse to say, well, the dog doesn't know the person, and that's why the dog's reacting that way. No, when you come in a home environment, the dog's already empowered. They think they own the joint. And the person comes in, the dog isn't getting a sense from that owner that the person's there under permission because they have no respect for the owner. Okay, so it goes beyond the person, you know, the person being a stranger. The fact is, the person hasn't established leadership. They are not the pivot point, the relational pivot point. So therefore, the dog is seeking fulfillment and power through other people, through situations. So this is why you get problems. This is why people have problems, because they're totally, they haven't built that bridge. And so, you know, the whole, again, getting back to the issue of fear aggression, you know, the solution, because I'll talk about the solution here for a few minutes. But, you know, I just want people to understand that, you know, it really is about thinking how people think. I mean, I guess people assume that you can think a certain way or however you want and it not have a impact on the dog, and that simply isn't true. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too, so to speak. It really does matter how you think. But again, when you're looking to fix the issue, you have to start to change how you think. You have to start to connect at a different level with the dog. And so these states of mind, because that's what this is, it becomes an express state, how a dog's mind pulls back, how it reacts to certain situations. What that represents is that person, or that dog, has already hit the tipping point. When you get that type of fear reaction, fear aggression, the dog will just kind of flash between two extremes quickly. That's what's happening. It's a challenge state that mind is pulling in. It'd be like a, you know, it's like a supernova, the sun kind of, you know, collapsing in on itself. So as the mind's pulling in, the amount of kind of gravitational forces pulling in, it relates to the, you know, the amount of power that dog's holding in the relationship. And so the resolution ultimately is to start to engage the dog differently. As the mind starts to pull in, you have to start to lock in. You know, I say lock in, it means you have to start to move that mind forward. You have to start to open that mind up. But it's not through being aggressive either. That's the thing. People who think a certain way, typically, if a dog's holding a lot of power on the owner, that means that person is very permissive in their thinking. And what they'll do is they'll label up authority as something really terrible, because they're at a total extreme level of thinking. They're not, you know, they're not reconciling anything properly. What they're doing is they're looking at everything as being hurtful to the dog, because they're engaged in this mirroring process. So they're not reconciling any of this. So what needs to happen? If you look at my techniques, this is why. You know, the techniques I use, even when I'm using certain devices such as collars, for the most part, I shy away from using remote collars and choke chains, although you'll see me use them a little bit on some dogs. However, how they're used, they're relational tools, which means that the amount of influence coming online through those is not the focus. It's not about putting a lot of force into these devices. It's more about control, you know, controlling the dog a certain way so you can create change. And this is the thing, it's not locked into just control either. A lot of people will use devices and they'll never break through that barrier of just control. This is why you see people on the walk with a pinch collar or whatever. And that dog is looking at the physical level, at the alignment physical level, you're getting a picture of a balanced dog. You're saying, well, that looks great. That dog is at the heel position. Person's using a pinch collar. But that's all that's happened. That dog has absolutely no respect. They're still devaluing everybody and everyone because that person actually isn't changing. Okay, they're just bringing certain devices online to control certain interactions. But in an overall way, nothing has really changed. So, but getting back to the technique is when the dog is starting to pull back, what you're doing is you're using the leash in a kinetic way to lock in and start to bring that dog's mind forward. And but how it's done, you know, I'm using, if I'm doing this or coaching, because that's what I'm doing, is I'm coaching the owner. If I'm doing it, I'm not doing that technique myself. Okay, I put too much stress on the dog. It's too much challenge because a dog's reacting to the to my personality type. It's not about, because if you look at the technique between myself and the dog owner, at the physical level, you won't see a difference in the amount of force on that on a specific technique, but you'll get a different reaction from the dog. And if you look at that, that will start to reveal the relational connection I'm always talking about, because you'll say, well, why is it that the dog is trying to bite Dale, but not trying to bite the owner, even though the technique's exactly the same with how they're using that leash? You're getting a lot more drama with Dale than you are the other person. Well, that's why, because dogs are responding relationally. Okay, they actually know the real deal. They know where it's all going to end up, and so they're saying, well, I'm gonna make this stop immediately, because if I don't, then I'm gonna lose. And so and when they do it, though, it's not, sometimes not even really personal at all. It's just reaction. Okay, the dog is just being a dog. The dog is following nature's path. So, however, when the dog bites somebody, I mean, that's it. That's why I'll coach a lot of people, especially bigger dogs, because just because a dog hasn't bitten before doesn't mean that the dog isn't holding a huge amount of power. That's the other thing people have to look at and start to be aware of, is that, you know, when a dog's following the script of devaluation and accepting certain people, certain personality types, and has found comfort and fulfillment and power within the home environment, a dog can be holding a huge amount of power, and that's ready to flash over the first moment someone else steps up to the plate and isn't even doing anything over the top. It's just the dog is going to now react because there's too much of a contrast. So this is why it's always better to work with a dog owner and coach them and get them to generate some traction, some role change. Then what happens over a period of time, the dog becomes more accepting of other people. So there's something to consider. But anyway, this whole issue of fear reaction, a book I'm writing here this year, I'm going to be focusing in on that issue. It's called Back from the Edge. And it's dealing with more, focusing in on more aggressive type cases. And also get lots of videos on my site. So if you want an idea about, you know, how to rehab, you know, aggressive dogs or the issue of fear aggression, encourage you to check out my website and check out my videos. I have lots of videos online, which goes in, really helps people see it. If you need help with your dog, on my site, I got lots of great options available to help dog owners, including home visit help, which is a great place to start, because you want to, you know, want to fix the dog or come into your dog's comfort zone, so to speak, and work where your dog or focus on resolving or changing how a dog thinks within your home environment. It's really important to start there. People can come where I'm at here too for training, and also offer the board and train option as well, where dogs come to me for a period of 2 weeks. And I put down the 2 weeks thing. If you look at why I say 2 weeks, you know, it's because of building the relational bridge. It's not meant to be a magic pill. It's a great boost, and it can be very helpful, but it has to be done keeping this connection issue in mind with the owners changing. So, but anyway, I have lots of great info, distance health as well on my site. If you're looking for help, I encourage you to check out my website, www.k9pack.com, letter K, number 9, P-A-C-K.com, all one word. Or call me anytime. My phone number here is 407-201-0678. And if you have any questions about your dog or needing help, feel free to contact me anytime. I'd be more than happy to help you out. Thanks very much. I hope you have a great day.